Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, the original Scottish Rugby Podcast. Today, I've got Matt.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
That was a good intro, mate. That only took you about 10 takes.
Yeah, it's a lot of Scottish, a lot of rugby.
Yeah, we've got to tighten that up.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite flow.
I'm not really sure, are we the original? Are we the, are we the only?
We're the original.
Do we care
more?
We
are the original. There's a bit of competition out there, but let's not talk about that.
That's true. Dave sadly can't make it today. Where is he?
Well, it's part of this kind of feast and famine cycle that he goes through, that he sort of puts on quite a bit of weight. And his girlfriend sort of cracks the whip and has forced him to go to a vegan yoga retreat in Italy.
Oh, God. So he'll have a nice tan and even more of a turkey neck when he comes back.
Oh, he'll be equally pale, but probably bigger turkey neck.
Ah, delightful. Well, I hope Dave is having fun listening to this. Plan for today. So, going to preview the games from last week. Edinburgh v Ospreys and Glasgow v Connacht. And then we're going to look ahead to next week where Edinburgh have an away tie in Ulster.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Glasgow have got Munster at home, probably a bit of a banana skin for them over the last couple of seasons. And then we're going to take a quick look at Scots abroad. Scots rugby players playing in France, Wales, Ireland and England. Also makes me think that they're on like a bit of a gap year. It's like Dave Denton's just like gone off to Leicester to do a bit of labouring for a couple of years, and then he's going to come back.
It's not much of a gap here, is it? Kind of the Midlands.
And then you will be listening to us on iTunes or Acast or wherever you listen to your podcast, and we are still pumping out a mix of uncultured analysis and clickbait memes over on Twitter, which, let me get this right, is at Thistle Rugby Pod.
Yeah, that's right, all one word.
On Instagram, at Thistle_Rugby_Pod, which we've been putting up quite a lot of polls recently, and unsurprisingly, they've been very skewed towards Scottish and Scottish club rugby success. So that's all good. Sort of like, will Edinburgh beat Ospreys? 97% say yes.
Yeah, I know.
And we still have our email, thethistlerugby@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's
currently
right.
Currently zero emails
for this year. For this year, so feel free to send us your thoughts on any of those media.
Normally, we do a little review at this time. We got a nice little review in this week from one of our big followers, Ouija Warrior. So I think it's pretty clear what team he supports and what demographic he fits. Title, Best Rugby Pod! Like that. Like the enthusiasm. 5 stars. This is the best rugby podcast available. Fact.
There you go.
Does exactly what it says in the tin.
No fake news around here.
So thanks, Ouija Warrior, and thanks to my cousin, Ouija Warrior, for that delightful little review. Should we do a little quick bit of news, and then we can dive into the games?
Yep, sure. Sounds good.
So not too much on the transfer, in terms of transfer news. Premier Sports kicked off this week. Got any thoughts on their coverage? Obviously, they're pumping a lot of money. I'm getting literally so many Instagram adverts about buying Premier Sports. And I'm just like, I've already bought Premier Sports. Leave me alone.
No, I think they've obviously chucked a lot of cash at it in terms of the broadcasters that they've got on, like the ex-pros and people like that. And it's pretty heavy-hitting team across the different regions, different countries. I thought it was pretty good. I think that the commentary is still finding its feet.
Yeah.
Like, for example, someone like Jim Hamilton, who I think offers a lot, but he's not done it for very long, and you can tell that it sort of doesn't come that naturally to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a few games, I'm sure they'll work out the cobwebs and everything.
It's interesting they've put Jim Hamilton into that commentary role, because I've always sort of felt he's almost potentially better as a pre or post match sort of analysis.
Yeah, that's what I think. Whereas like Rory Lawson is a very good commentator, I'd say.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. No, it's been good. I've sort of been watching quite a lot on my iPad, which there's part of me that feels that potentially they've invested too much of the money in talent and probably put a little bit more money into the product itself.
Yeah, into the sort of the backhaul.
Yeah.
Because it seems as if listening to another rugby podcast that's out there, that the customer service lines weren't open at all on Sunday of the week that they've launched this brand new program.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, ultimately, since the announcement and having to actually execute, it's not been that much time.
No.
And I feel like they have had to rush certain things.
Yeah, no. No, I agree. But look, I think it's a good start.
Yeah.
And I think having that product which puts Pro 14 Rugby sort of front and centre of its coverage. Obviously, Sky do a pretty good job of sort of executing on games, but it is always a second or third rate asset.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Them. Cool. News that David Tamalua is in town in Glasgow. Supposedly, he's turned up relatively obese.
Where did you hear this?
supposedly, at the the Glasgow members sort of Q&A.
Oh, right, okay.
That was David Tamalua turned up relatively obese. At least he turned up, though.
He did turn up. Maybe they can work on him a bit, but...
But suppose that he is in, I think the words were intense conditioning.
Intense conditioning. Well, they do have a fat club, but you'd think that, you know, it's the first game of the season that they wouldn't be having to do any of that.
He's also just come off a season of rugby in the US. What's he been doing for the last 4 weeks?
I really want this guy to prove us all wrong, because... So far, I don't think anyone in their right mind understands this signing.
No, I agree. But you know what? We've won up Newcastle. He's actually in Glasgow.
That's true.
And, you know, let's hope he can lose weight.
Good luck to him.
And the one other one that I wanted to pick up, we saw a couple of weeks ago, Glasgow re-signed with the Malcolm Group.
Yeah. Malcolm Group Logistics.
Logistics company.
The father, the guy, Walter Malcolm, his son... is James Malcolm, the Glasgow Warriors hooker.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, then, they decided to not take James Malcolm for the...
I know, it would have made sense, wouldn't it? Maybe it was a bit too sort of near to home.
Yeah. They decided to take Nick Frisby to Linton, to the logistics centre, to announce it. And Nick Frisby looked utterly confused as to why he was in Linton at a logistics firm, and then sort of gave... It was almost like there was like a pad of paper behind the camera that was like, we like the Malcolm Group, and it is great that the Malcolm Group are investing in Scottish rugby.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing his part for the club, fair play to him.
And you know what? I actually think the sort of Scottish, Glasgow and Edinburgh media teams do a pretty good job of like almost essentially forcing the rugby players just to like do sponsorship stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So, no, it was good.
The thing is, there's a contrast between, I saw that... John Barkley and Damien Holland were at, I can't remember the name of it, but some really nice distillery the other day. It's a spot like Glengoyne or something. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
But they get to go to a distillery and like try out these sort of world-class whiskies. And Nick Frisby gets to look at some big trucks.
Oh, yeah, there's a real tiering. John Barkley ain't going anywhere near logistics center.
That's true. That's true.
All right. Okay. Well, should we kick in?
Let's do it.
Right. Edinburgh Osprey. Oh, we're going to start with. Let's start with a win.
Yeah.
Glasgow v Connacht. Saturday. What's the Connacht ground called again? The sports ground. Just need the win right at the end. I'm trying to get the 27-26 to Glasgow. Tries from Seymour, George Turner, Ryan Wilson, Adam Ash. Conversion from Horn, and BBC Sport is saying that Adam Ash also got the conversion, which doesn't appear to be correct.
Converted his own try.
Yeah. And obviously Hogg with a drop goal. Obviously, we watched this on Saturday. It felt a little bit more like a pre-season game than an actual kind of in-season game. What were your thoughts of from the 80 minutes?
Yeah, it's a difficult one with those first matches because either it is still teams, you know, feeling their way into the season and working out the rustiness, or they've had a great pre-season and are hitting the ground running, and that's when you've often got, actually, because people are fresh, the highest level of intensity and quality.
Yeah.
And I think this match definitely fell into the former. You know, ultimately, it's a really good win. Connacht away is always going to be a difficult fixture. They're a really stuffy team. I don't think they've got sort of a load of quality, but they've got a really good pack. And, you know, they play for each other. And going to the sports ground is a difficult endeavour. So, yeah, I think it's a really good result, good way to start things off. And the fact they got... Did they get their bonus point?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Coming away from the sports ground, you can't really ask... You literally can't ask for any more than that.
No, absolutely. And I think, whilst obviously saying that it was a relatively scrappy performance, the actual first 2 minutes of the game were incredible. So, obviously, we kicked off to Connacht. We then regathered the ball. And within a minute and a half, Hogg had chipped over and Tommy Seymour had scored. And I think when that first happened, there was part of me that was like, boom, Glasgow are back.
Yeah.
This is it. Dave Rennie. This is the time Dave Rennie stamps his authority on it. And then just from there, it just increasingly got scrappier and scrappier. And I think during that first half, obviously, I'm expecting big things from Hastings and Horn this year. But maybe it's away at Connacht, start of the season, scrappy game. They just weren't able to control and stamp their authority on that match. And it's a big worry because I think when Hastings isn't able to play how he wants to play, he starts chucking passes that maybe aren't there.
Sounds like another Scottish rugby standoff who's left our shores recently.
Yeah, I know.
It's not much of a different option, is it?
No,
we'll
I know.
Come on to Duncan Weir later.
But yeah, and I think he also potentially doesn't matter as much with Horn and Hogg and the team, but he doesn't have that kicking game to really see out a lot of these tough matches.
It's not his strength.
No.
I think he can. He's got an okay kicking game, but it's not something that I would say comes naturally to him.
No.
So you have to take a lot of the pressure off him.
And they obviously did do that. So you can see Stuart Hogg was taking the kickoffs. Some of the filthiest kickoffs I've ever seen in my entire life.
Unbelievable. The hang time.
He has to be kicking off for Scotland.
Yeah. Yeah, like, definitely. Why wouldn't you? And I would say that maybe, you know, in the last couple of years, we've had issues with Finn kicking to touch.
Yeah.
As in, like, he can get good distance, but not amazing, and he misses touch quite a lot. Why wouldn't you just let Hogg do it? He's got the biggest boot in the team.
Yeah.
And he tends to find touch.
No, I completely agree. I think we were saying right at the end when he had 55 metres, and he absolutely crushes it.
Yeah, sort of into the corner.
Yeah, into the corner. And he doesn't I think he's increasingly showing that he doesn't really feel the pressure.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of his lid?
I mean, he looks horrific.
Do you think he's going for, like, I'm getting rid of it and then I'm going to put, like, hair plugs in or something? Or I think he's just embracing the baldness.
It looks a little bit like Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, he does. He does, actually. He does.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know where he's going with it, but I'm currently not a fan.
But ultimately, it's not, you know, it's not the source of his strength because he played really well at the weekend. So
exactly.
I think something like Barnett in the last year or so, when it was sort of like swept over and quite thin, like when his beard, that presumably looked worse. So
Yeah, I mean, both equally bad. I mean, I guess maybe there's no good option.
Poor guy. Poor guy. He's like pale. He's really freckly as well. But let's just talk. He was unbelievable.
Yes.
Like, really stepped up. And we were talking about this in our sort of preview that maybe last season, not that he played badly by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe didn't have that sort of coming into the team and having a galvanizing effect and playing that well. And he was just doing everything, running game, his kicking. He's just got, we know he's got the whole skill set, but when you see him playing like that, it's just great.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think, obviously, Tommy Seymour scored that try at the start, but it still feels like, unlike 2 or 3 years ago, he's still really struggling to kind of make his mark on a game.
Yeah.
You know, he's never been someone who's making those outside breaks, but he's always had that ability to come off his wing and punch holes.
Yeah.
And he just seems to be struggling to either, whether it's timing, whether it's a power thing, whether it's confidence thing.
It seems like a confidence thing. I think that's what it is in a lot of these cases.
I think DTH is in that game making more of an impact.
Yeah.
And back end of last season was also making more of an impact. And there's a small part of me that felt like that Glasgow team almost needed someone like a Nico. Just, you know, when you've got people like Horn and Grigg, I can't remember who started sort of 13, but if you got Horn, and Grigg in the centres, they are really, really great. They're solid, but they don't just give you that maybe creative spark that someone like a Nico will bring to every game.
Yeah,
I mean, he might lose you the game. That is the issue.
Yeah, yeah, I do get that. What did you make of Stuart Hogg carrying the ball over the line right at the end?
If the shoe had been on the other foot,
we've been raging.
Glasgow Warriors Forum would have gone into meltdown.
Yeah, but the other thing is that off that penalty, or whatever it was, no, off the penalty that the guy missed in the last play,
yes,
that wasn't a penalty.
Yes.
And the referee went and admitted it to Adam Ash afterwards and said, yeah, on reflection.
Which is which is actually a good thing to do for a ref.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember who the ref was. The Welsh lad. I don't know his name.
Looking at the forward pack, I know he's not a new signing, but he could be the signing of the season, Ollie Kebble.
Mm. Yeah, he looked I mean, it was just a matter of being fit, wasn't it?
Exactly. And I think, you know, Connacht don't have a poor scrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had I can never pronounce it. Ferguson and George Turner, who, whilst both really, really good players in open play, not relatively strong scrummers, and just having Ollie Kebble in there brought in such a level of stability. And he was getting around the park.
Yeah, yeah. What do you make of Rob Harley at six? How did that work?
You know, he's sort of solid. But my issue with Rob Harley is I feel like you want him in the team if you've got someone like a David Tamaloa who you're just expecting to...
Don't really worry about rocking and defending.
Yeah.
You know, you still do them, but...
Exactly. You know, we need Rob Harley in the team because we've got other players that aren't able to bring as much in that kind of ruck and mauling area.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like with Cummings, Gray, Wilson and Gibbons, you've kind of got that covered.
That's what my thought would be. And then why don't you put in even an Adam Ash at eight and then put Wilson at seven or six or whatever.
And I think that, I reckon that's what they'll probably do against Munster.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I think there was, again, a lack of kind of ball carrying from that Glasgow back, kind of second row and back row.
Yeah. And then at the same time, when you're sort of, your midfield is Hastings, Horn and Grigg. You know, there's not an Alex Dunbar in there or even Hugh Jones. Grigg can run some nice direct lines, but they're more sort of ball players and looking for space.
Yeah.
So you sort of miss that go forward in the midfield.
Completely agree. Should we look forward to this week?
Yeah, yeah.
Munster at home. Munster who beat the Cheetahs 38-0.
Yeah, they look pretty impressive in the highlights that I watched. I mean, I don't know what to make of a Cheetahs team when they're sent overseas, but Munster have recruited well this season. I think there were five guys making their debut, including like Joey Carberry, Will Addison, like really, really good signings. And you know what they're going to bring. It was quite funny listening to Dave Rennie at this supporters club event this week, he was actually rinsing Munster for playing no rugby whatsoever.
That is true, though.
Oh, of course it's true.
Yeah.
But to hear a coach say it was, it's quite refreshing, actually.
Yeah.
But I think that's obviously what Glasgow struggled with, that they sort of get brought down to Munster's level, not to denigrate their game at all.
Yeah.
But when it becomes an arm wrestle, you know, stuff we've talked about for years now,
yeah,
Glasgow can't deal with that.
No, absolutely. And I think of all the Pro 14 teams, even potentially more than Edinburgh, I think Munster is almost, maybe not more than Edinburgh, but Munster feels to me to be the second biggest game for Glasgow in terms of just past history of like the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
And so,
well, two years ago, they lost to Munster four times in one season.
Yeah. So,
a real boogie team.
Well, should we do a prediction now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
I think this game's a bit too early for this Glasgow team. I think that Munster pack and the efficiency of that pack. Plus, they have added a little bit in the back. So, obviously, you mentioned Carberry, but they've also got Sweetenham, who looks...
Yeah, the winger.
And Mike Haley as well, who's obviously come across from
Sale. Yeah.
All pretty dynamic sort of backline ball carriers. I think there's a chance it could be it won't be relatively close.
You look at the Munster team, and on paper it doesn't look that good. Like, I'm not going to run through the whole team, but I generally think a lot of people looking at that team actually won't have heard of a single player. Like, the starting 15 from last week genuinely won't have heard of a single player.
Yeah.
Because there's not very many Ireland internationals in there. Even Joey Carberry was on the bench.
Yeah.
And I think Conor Murray's still injured.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... But the
I wonder if they'll bring anyone like Stander or Manny back for these
games. They might well do. And that's when they just bring the best out of all those guys who are good, but maybe not great players.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if Glasgow won, you know, and then played them again in the playoffs and got pumped. You know, it might be similar to last year, like maybe winning the games that aren't sort of the crunch fixtures. It's at home. I could see, I think if Glasgow can start playing that style that we know they can and don't get dragged down, then Munster can't live with them.
Yeah.
It's just whether that happens. But I think Glasgow will win by 7, actually.
Like it. Like the enthusiasm. Yeah. All right, I'm going to say Munster are going to win by 10.
10? Bloody hell.
I think Munster, there's a bit of a mental issue with Munster in Glasgow.
Maybe.
But no.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Friday night game, 7:35. That is a nice little Friday night.
That'd be fun. I'd like to go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we boost across to Edinburgh Ospreys?
Yep.
So Friday night down in Swansea?
I never know with all those
Newport?
Teams. I get confused.
No. Yeah, Swansea, Neath.
Yeah, one of the two.
So, Edinburgh v Ospreys. What did you think of this, Matt?
Once again, it felt like a preseason match continued on. I think particularly from Edinburgh's point of view, they just made so many errors. Like, not even knock-ons. It was, you know, having the ball stripped like four or five times in contact. And even, you know, the try that probably decided it in the end when George North streaked away.
Yeah.
It was Pergos picking up the ball. And, like, it just, like, hit off one of his own players' legs. Which, to be fair, it doesn't happen very often, but it just kind of showed a lack of sharpness and just a bit of kind of lack of concentration.
Yes. No, absolutely agree. And I think one of the... I remember when I was sort of watching the game, the fact that it was 0-0 after 30 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, this was a real dud for quite a substantial period of time.
I know, it's a shame. Like, one of the first games on the Friday night to kick off the season.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
But so 17-13 to the Ospreys, obviously. George North with two tries, and then Blair Kinghorn with a try for Edinburgh. Starting with the pack, Pierce Schumann, that guy is fucking horrible. He is an absolute beast, and he looks like he wants to murder people.
He sounds like, the way he speaks and stuff, he is terrifying.
Yeah, I'm literally petrified of him.
I'm playing for Scotland in a couple of years as well. So.
Well, I know, that's the thing. But it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see once, now that Dell's back, who they'll sort of start. Mm. You know, I like Dell, but the fact, when you've got Pierre Schumann, McAnally and Bergen in your front row, not only, I mean, you should have a relatively strong enough pack, but the sort of ball-carrying ability of that front row is actually relatively scary.
Yeah, and even just sort of I kind of see Schumann as quite a bit of a different player to Dell in terms of maybe being a bit more of a sort of grizzled front rower.
Yes.
And I get the sense that
he's seen Dell, some things in
Dell scrummages, but probably doesn't love scrummaging.
Oh, no, he hates it. He does it because he has to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a contractual obligation.
Yeah, exactly. He'd like much rather be playing at number eight or something.
Yeah.
Or even hooker.
Yeah.
So, whereas I think Schumann, like, is when he packs down, he's staring at his opposite man, being like, I am in my element.
Yeah, he's like that horrible guy who, like, rub his face against the other prop and, like, slap them and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But no, I mean, again, you know, with him and Kebble kind of both having good starts.
I think the pack overall, you look at that pack and you think, that's really strong. It's always going to perform. And I think, you know, they did the basics very well. It was just... The carrying wasn't that great, and as I said, the ball retention. I'm still not sold on Luke Hamilton. Like, I think I'd rather see... I don't think he had a bad game, but I think having Jamie Ritchie on the bench, I'd rather have him kicking around.
I'm surprised that they started Luke Hamilton ahead of Jamie Ritchie. I think the consistency of Jamie Ritchie's performances last season, and you saw the impact that Jamie Ritchie had when he came off the bench.
Yeah, he just seems a bit more dynamic.
Yeah. And I think I would imagine going into next week, I could see Jamie Ritchie coming straight back into that squad. Because I think him, Mata again, sometimes kind of can go missing. But for portions of that game, was looking really, really classy. Mm. Watson just does what Watson does.
Yeah.
I think that with Watson, Ritchie and Mata, that is a really powerful and actually quite well-balanced back.
Yeah, exactly. Because Ritchie's pretty good at carrying, but it's probably going to do a bit more of the unseen stuff. What did you make of the back line? I thought that's where Edinburgh struggled the most, actually. It's something they've had an issue with for years, I suppose, but I think it was just gelling, particularly two new signings at halfback. Matt Scott and Mark Bennett haven't played together for Edinburgh for, you know, at all. I think have partnered each other with Scotland, but not for a long, long time.
I'm willing to give Hickey the benefit of the doubt. I thought he was relatively poor.
And
maybe I was just expecting bigger things, but I didn't actually even think his distribution was that great. But again, you know, maybe it's, again, he's working with Pergos, who he's never really played with. He's working with Matt Scott, who he's never really played with.
Yeah.
So, willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and sort of see how it sort of progresses. And yeah, Matt Scott and Bennett, it felt like there was just something a little bit missing from that pairing.
Yeah.
Scott was making some good hard lines, but they just were not working well together.
Mm. Yeah, that's my one worry with those two, that they're sort of on different, they're not on the same page. They're quite different players. And I think particularly the way that, I think they want to play Matt Scott as a bit more of a direct runner. And he's a bigger guy than he used to be, but I feel like they could kind of maybe use his ball playing ability.
He's not Jamie Roberts.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, particularly since he went down to Gloucester, that's the kind of player he became. Yeah, which I think maybe that helps better someone like Bennett outside, but at the moment,
we say
not
we need
quite
to get
working.
Chris Dean in there.
No. He wasn't even on the bench. James Johnson was on the bench.
No, I saw that.
Which makes sense.
And I think probably the other place where that backline really struggled is, look, the two best strike runners in that team are Blair Kinghorn and DTH Van der Merwe.
Doohan Van der Merwe.
Doohan Van der Merwe.
DTH playing both, backing up both games.
And they just weren't getting their hands on the ball enough.
Yeah.
You know, they should be getting...
Van der Merwe should be punching lines off 10 or 12. Yes. And Kinghorn should be getting the ball, you know, in space.
Yeah.
In that sort of outside center channel.
As and you saw even at the end of the game when Kinghorn gets his hands on the ball, just what sort of damage he can do.
Yeah.
But look, I think, you know, Ospreys are not a bad team.
Yes.
And I actually think they're potentially better than they were last year.
I think you're right. And I think actually, you know, you look at their team, it is packed full of Welsh internationals who are used to beating Scottish teams.
Yeah.
And I actually think that has a bit of a role to play. I also think that, you know, ultimately they've gone away from home, and they talked about it afterwards, saying that we were still in the contest the whole time, and they did get the bonus point despite you know, not playing well. I would have expected them to win. They'll be bitterly disappointed, but it's not a terrible outcome.
Yeah, and I guess thinking about now, I know it's first game in the season, but for Glasgow, they've got Munster and Ospreys in their group. And that it's going to be those three fighting for those two automatic places.
Yeah.
And almost makes actually this Glasgow Munster game even more important.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that... Because Ospreys were super off the boil last year, and I'd be surprised if they're not fighting.
Yeah, they've recruited well. Do you see Edinburgh have been made eighth favourites to win the Pro 14 by the bookies?
What?
Eighth favourites. So actually, judging by the bookies, this wasn't a shock result. So like, Ospreys are ahead of them, Cardiff are ahead of them.
You're saying our Instagram poll voters were wrong?
Well, according to William Hill.
Are Ulster ahead of them?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was Jamie Lahr writing about it on the BBC, saying, right, really?
Irish people love to gamble, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Bookie's got to even out those odds.
Yeah, exactly.
Going away to Ulster.
Yeah. Also got a good win against Scarlets.
Yeah.
All penalties. I don't think they'll win this game. I think it's a tough ask.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat them last year away from home. Also weren't in a great place last year, though. I just think that's a difficult one that Ulster are really going to be targeting.
I know they got McFarland in.
Yeah.
And coaching.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's, I think Edinburgh got this. I think there was enough in that sort of forward pack to show that they could go to Ulster and look to really challenge them up front. And I'm going to say that Hickey is going to... He's had his week.
Okay.
You know, he's been pretty budget, but he's going to have enough class to come out, and Edinburgh are going to take the win up in Belfast.
Nice. I like that.
So I'm going to go for Edinburgh win by 5.
Okay. I'm going to go Ulster by 9.
Low scoring, though. Real.
It won't be a great match.
It's not going to be a classic.
At the Kingspan.
No. Cool. So, right. That's our two games.
Pro teams wrapped up.
Scots abroad.
Oh, mate.
Players
new little feature we're going to do. Scots abroad.
Yeah. I think once a month we're going to do a little review of Scottish players who are applying their trade abroad. And that's probably only one place to start this week, which is France and Paris and Wee Grieg versus Finn Russell. It's obviously two games into the top 14 season. Finn with his 2-try win last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously up against Clermont this week. Did you catch any of the highlights of this game?
I watched a little bit of the highlights. Probably my favourite bit was it seems as if a few of the Scottish rugby journalists were across in Paris covering... Yeah,
didn't get the call up.
I know. What a shame. Next time we need anyone to go, we'll happily do it. Covering the match and interviewing Finn Russell. And did you see, obviously, Racing have this new futuristic stadium.
Yeah.
And did you see the pre-match screen where they're all dressed up in suits?
Now that's dystopian.
It's so bizarre.
It's great.
I don't think they ever had us at the tailor. Was like, normally rugby players have far bigger bodies.
I know.
It kind of looked like it was hanging off them a bit. So that was actually the only bit that I really watched. I didn't see any of the highlights. What did you make of it?
Saw a little bit of it. I think, obviously, in general, just Clermont just were essentially more clinical than Racing. I think one of the tries for Vakatawa. Finn Russell had a sort of nice pass behind right. the 12 to him. Interestingly, the Wee Griggs smashing over 17 points. Mm. And with Morgan Parra is the Clermont captain, but was on the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I know obviously they probably like to rotate, but for a big away game against Racing, to put Grieg in ahead of Parra, it feels like a relatively big statement.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what you make of it, but the fact that Laidlaw's still there, you know, playing well, kicking his goals. I got the sense that when he went to Clermont, they'd sign him and say, oh, this guy's not that good, and then sort of do a year or so.
It felt like a weird signing when you've got Parra there.
Yeah, exactly. And then even, you could maybe say, oh, he's a good goal kicker, but you've got Lopez as well. What was that that thing you found on the forum this week about Greg Laidlaw?
There was a bit of chat about, there was a good sort of topic on the Glasgow forum about, essentially, it started off with Stuart Hogg, and they were chatting about how obviously he has his restaurant in Glasgow.
Yeah, what's it called? The Finn something.
Finsbury something. Yeah. And then they were saying, someone mentioned that Greg Laidlaw was invested in a couple of restaurants in London, and someone very quickly came back with, yeah, I've heard they've got the slowest service in London.
That is very good. Which extremely niche joke. But I enjoyed. You know, that's what our listeners are here for.
Immensely.
What other Scots did we have abroad?
So, obviously, Richard Gray's at Toulouse, but he is injured at the moment and definitely wasn't starting at the weekend because I had a wee look. Scarlett.
Mm-hmm.
Hidalgo Klein starting at 9.
Yep. He was starting in a lot of pre-season as well.
Yeah. And looking relatively good.
Mm-hmm.
Looking pretty sharp. I think he's obviously, it's him and Reese Patchell together.
Yep.
We're looking like they were working well together. And then we've got Blade Thompson.
Yeah, probably someone that...
Kilted Kiwi.
Yeah, probably someone that not that many people are aware of.
Yeah.
Just because it seemed as if he moved to Wales and then suddenly the SU say, oh, wait, he's Scottish qualified.
Oh, hello.
So he's been at the Hurricanes for a while. I'd never say he's been a first pick at the Canes.
No.
But whenever you sort of see the highlights of Super Rugby, he always looks like a handy player.
Yes.
And not a bad guy to put into the conversation at all.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm trying to think, is he a little bit similar to Ryan Wilson? In the sense that, you know, he's not like a massive ball carrying, but he's potentially more of that kind of link play.
Mm. I'd say he's a lot more skillful than Ryan Wilson. I'd say he'd offer a lot more with ball in hand. He's maybe not, you know, going to make you sort of loads of meters, but he's got good skills.
Yeah.
So
no,
see how it goes. It'd
be really, really interesting to see how that develops. I think I can't see them changing the balance of that back row this year with Barkley, Watson and Wilson. But with Barkley being out of the Autumn Internationals, I wonder whether they might try and get him in for something like the Fiji game.
I suppose it's not as if, you know, the WRU could dangle residency because he's getting on a bit. I don't think they're going to wait for someone like him.
No.
Because would it be 5 years now? I don't understand the residency.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... Other moving on to the Premiership.
How about you talk about Worcester? Obviously, yep. They lost by a point to Wasps at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Donkey Ware starring, the Pudding.
Pudding, who Andy Goob was talking about this week.
What was he saying?
Just being like, how on earth is that guy a professional rugby player?
Coming from Andy Goob.
Well, no, he was like, we're kindred spirits. He's like, I thought I looked bad in a shirt, but Jesus.
Yeah. Shirt. It's but obviously, you know, last year he sort of made a little bit of a... got a bit of legendary status at Edinburgh for his sort of last-minute drop goals and had his opportunity. First game for Worcester, that would have been huge.
Against Wasps as well.
Just to get the crowd on your side.
Yeah, and he pulls it to the left.
It was a pretty easy drop goal
and
as well.
As far as drop goals go.
Yeah, as far as drop goals go.
But it's as easy as you like.
Yeah. It's when it's one of those ones when you hit and you just drag it and you're like,
it wasn't even that bad a strike as well. It's not like he completely scuffed it.
Yeah. And then we had Conor Dupree on the bench with what sounds like one of the most horrific injuries I've ever heard.
Fractured larynx.
Your voice box. What does that mean?
It must be a little bone in your throat.
Oh, sounds horrific.
It sounds like it was a pretty innocuous tackle, and then someone's come through with the knee, so he's got a knee in the throat, effectively, and he's fractured his larynx. I presume he can't speak. Oh. He needs surgery.
Well, look, obviously, there's not that much information apart from that out in the sort of public domain, but obviously all our kind of wish him all the best, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And then we've got Brian McGuigan and Josh Strauss obviously playing the trade itself. I think McGuigan was starting at 15 at the weekend.
Yeah, Strauss on the bench. They got a bit of a doing.
And they got a bit of a doing from Harlequins.
I don't think you can read too much into that. That's a bit of a funny one. And then...
I'm worried Strauss might not get that much game time this year, though. Because you've got both the Curry brothers and John Ross.
Yeah, I agree.
And they've got Josh Beaumont as well.
Yeah, I agree.
I've got a feeling that they see the Curry brothers as 6 and 7. And I think they're going to always start John Ross ahead of him.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then I've just seen that Duncan Taylor was carried off injured playing for Saracens, and he's done his ACL, supposedly.
Oh, no!
I know. Set for a lengthy spell on the sidelines, according to Saracens.
Jesus Christ.
That's season over, pretty much.
Potentially out of the World Cup.
Yeah. That's such a shame.
Oh, that is...
And the thing is, like, when I read that he was injured, I thought it would be a concussion thing.
Yeah.
And not that this is, like, a better or worse injury, but such kick in the teeth to sort of overcome those issues, and then ACL. Completely different, equally serious injury. Serious, but...
There was a part of me, I still feel like if everyone's at full strength, that best starting Scotland centre partnership is Taylor and Jones, 12 yeah. and 13. I think that is.
I think you're right. I think he's kind of the glue for a lot of that back line. So it's such a shame. I mean, we've still got good centres, but it's a shame just to see him not be able to play.
Yeah. For him, it's a shame. It's for Scotland, it's not the worst thing that could happen.
Yes, it's not like Finn or Hogg being injured. And then we had Dent Wheezy starting at 6.
Starting at 6 for Leicester. Away down in Exeter.
They got a pumping, but supposedly he played well. Supposedly he was their best player. It's all relative, but his stats are pretty good, like just doing what he does well.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's just like, he does his thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to change.
Oh, no, he's too far down the line to develop anything different.
Post World Cup, he's got to be in France. I reckon he'll probably suit his game a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of just...
Just play at 8, carry. Yeah, don't worry about anything else.
And then obviously we've got a few more players down in the Mitre 10 who, obviously, Murray Douglas still trucking out for Northland.
Yeah.
And but I think maybe we'll save that for another time, because there's actually quite a few Edinburgh and Glasgow players and young Scottish players sort of playing down in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It is... What time is it? Fuck, 8:20, and I've got to go to work.
Yeah.
This is going to be a long, long day. If you're still on the podcast, well done. It's probably been a little bit boring.
You probably thought it'd be a quiz at the end, but unlucky.
Unlucky for you.
Next week, we'll be back at a full complement and hopefully celebrating 2 wins for the pro teams.
Exactly. All right.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.